What about upfront in patients with poor performance status? You may be kind of reluctant to give them chemotherapy.
Yeah, I will use cetuximab as a single agent. I'll give you an example. I had an 85-year-old gentleman who, you know, clearly was going to be very fragile. He had a T3 larynx and had had a tracheostomy. And my radiation oncologist and surgeon really wanted me to treat this guy for organ preservation, although I had my doubts. You know, when you get up into the late 80s and early 90s, you may look good as a person, but you're fragile. You know, an event can really set you back, and the ability to rehabilitate is very important. So I treated this patient with a combination of cetuximab and carboplatinum, and then I added a taxane a little bit later. But I think that it's probably a little bit of over-treatment. If you look at the data from the radiation trial, Bonner's trial from the New England Journal, it suggests that there was not a lot of benefit in the older patients as a single agent. There was also not a lot of benefit in hypopharynx and larynx, and it was not a lot of benefit with once-a-day radiation. And really, the most benefited group of patients were those patients with oropharynx cancer, where we know that there's some sensitivity, and those patients who had accelerated fractionation, which adds a lot to toxicity. It's not any different with the cetuximab versus not, but there's a high rate of esophageal stenosis with hyperfractionated radiation as opposed to once-a-day radiation. So you don't buy a reduction in toxicity from the basic therapy by adding cetuximab, but you may be able to get a little bit more oomph with the same toxicity. Whether you can add a drug to that or not is another question, and that, I think, that question's out. I would do that for a patient. I would add carboplatinum to the chemotherapy. I think that's not the best drug to add. You know, I think a taxane would be better, but with radiation, taxane is going to add a lot of toxicity to these patients.
What about the patient who's younger but has comorbidities, and particularly patients maybe with poor social situations, alcoholism, tobacco, et cetera? How does TPF fit in those kinds of patients?
Well, I think if a patient comes in with significant psychosocial problems, and I like to talk about a patient who's let the tumor grow so much that their speech is significantly impaired. It's not somebody who's developed a hot potato voice and that's what brought them in. It's somebody with a floor of mouth cancer where the tongue's bound down and the tumor's kind of visible, or the teeth are falling out because of that. These are people who tend to be just like neglect breast cancers or neglecting themselves. They are not going to be able to be compliant with a very effective regimen. We would certainly give them the benefit of the doubt and try and treat them aggressively, but we'd be very quick to reduce the therapy, dumb it down in terms of the amount of drugs so that they're not going to experience toxicity. And of course, if they're not going to be compliant with rehabilitation, you know, if I have a curative option which involves an immediate surgical procedure followed by radiation, I would rather do that. So laryngectomy, remember, laryngectomy is not a terrible procedure. People recover their voice. They recover it through certain kinds of procedures or devices, and they can eat, which you can't do if you have a frozen larynx from radiation and you can't rehabilitate it. If you have a frozen larynx, a person will develop aspiration pneumonia, and those people actually die. They die from chronic lung disease and chronic pneumonias.
Got to ask you what a hot potato voice is.
You start talking like you just ate a hot potato.
What's going on anatomically?
Anatomically, the tumor has grown so that it's touching the back of the soft palate and is blocking air going past the soft palate. So it sounds like a hot potato.
Interesting.